I don't remember what was said, but one of them said to Tim, "How did you get Holly anyway?" To which Tim replies, "It's my special sauce." To which the whole room in the Schenck house went silent. Which
they got more than they wanted on that answer. They got more than they wanted.
When the Schenck house goes silent,
yes, it's an achievement.
Something is amiss.
Something is wrong.
It was John Garrett that went, "Ew."
I love how you do Tim's voice. That's like how I do it too when I'm.
I know it is.
It's my special sauce.
It's my special sauce.
I don't know what. Anyway,
I don't know, and I'm going to tell you people that I'm not going to ask any questions.
No,
because I don't want to know. But between the lady cheese and the special sauce, there's a lot more going on at Holly's house than there is at my house.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Welcome to episode 168 of Designer Cornbread Podcast. And we're back, guys. We're alive. We're kicking. We were just discussing our illnesses again. And
what? None of you... discussing our health at 56 years old.
Discussing our corns and our bunions. anyway, Joni was just saying how she took medication pretty much all through her break. Until like the Saturday.
It is now well documented. Every time that I have a break from school, I get sick.
I know. I woke up Friday. Just this past Friday was the first day that I woke up without a headache and with the will to live. So it was a great. Every other day. This one's been different because of the headaches. Every other day, it was just like, I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to move. But anyway, I woke up. I had the will to live. I had no headache. I took the shower of my life. I mean, I was in there for forever. I did everything.
Okay.
Did all the things. We exfoliated.
I don't know if we need details, y'all.
Scalp treatment. We deep conditioned.
Okay.
We did the things. I mean, when I got out, the whole bathroom was literally, there was moving steam clouds in my bathroom.
It was probably very good for you.
I think it was. It felt great. It was wonderful. And then I think as of like yesterday or day before, my face is shaved. My brows are dyed. I'm ready for a new year.
You are looking good there, Hal.
It's a fresh start.
Anyway,
I know. How are you? Tell us all about what is going on. Have we talked since New Year? Is this our first time in the New Year?
This is our first time in the New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. Yeah, our episode actually dropped on New Year's Day.
That's right.
And so, but this is the first time that we have actually recorded in the New Year.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. That is. It's the 5th or something. It's actually Epiphany, right? Isn't that Epiphany today?
Tomorrow, I believe. Tomorrow.
I never remember if it's the 5th or the 6th. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I cannot get that in my brain. So I'll just celebrate it for 2 days.
It's been an old person week is what it has been here.
Okay, tell us.
I don't know. Perhaps this had happened last week. Had Ron pulled his back out last week? Okay.
Yes, he had.
You know, just in time to take Christmas decorations down in the lid. So he's still dealing with that. I have a little thing where I used to like hashtag it, but there's this thing called romance and then there's Ronmance.
Yeah.
And I need to tell you what this man said to me.
Okay. Okay, tell us about a romance.
You know, I've had these little precancerous spots, and I had a couple, well, several, that the chemical peels, did not get that, you know, it, they're still lingering there. And so I went to the dermatologist and she froze them off. So I have these scabs all over my face.
Oh.
And they're big and red and scabby and they look horrible. They finally are getting better. But my husband looks at me in his romance, Ron Mance, and he says, "It's okay, dear. I like pepperoni pizza."
Oh my gosh.
Hashtag Ron Mance.
Hashtag Ron Mance. Yeah, he yes. was trying to be supportive, but
I don't know.
We don't know.
I like pepperoni pizza.
It's terrible.
I do. I have these red circles. It's awful.
That is awful. Oh my gosh. Ron, leave it to him.
No.
Leave it to him. So I tell you.
Other romance notes. I do have to have a discussion with our listeners about your husband.
Okay.
So in several episodes back, we talked about Tim's romance and he stopped at Trader Joe's and he picked up a bouquet of flowers for you.
Yep.
Brought you flowers.
And some lady cheese.
And some lady cheese. Yes, it was very sweet. That's how he expresses his love for me is via cheese. And I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Lady cheese. Mm-hmm. For those of you who are suddenly grossed out.
Listen.
Is gourmet cheese. And Tim calls it lady cheese.
And what he meant girl dinner. But he got mixed up. He said lady cheese.
I will say a bad word here on the podcast.
Oh.
So, because I'm going to quote my grown son. There was a text exchange that Linda Vonderbrugge started, our dear friend Linda, between Caleb and Holly. Now, in her defense, she thought Caleb's number was my number. So she thought.
Yes, it was used to be your phone number, so she still had that in her thing from a while back.
So she thinks she's texting Holly and me.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's Holly and Caleb. And Holly happens to be at my house at this point. And almost simultaneously, she looks at me and she said, "This is weird." And I said, "What?" She said, "Why am I in a text group with Linda and Caleb?"
I could not figure it out.
I said, "What?" And then my phone dings and I get a text from my son that says, "What the hell is lady cheese?"
We were so mixed up. I didn't know what was going on.
But Linda had listened to the podcast. It was talking about the lady
cheese. Yes.
Story. So now fast forward here to, you know, sometime this week, my days all run together.
Yeah, who knows?
My husband looks at John Garrett and he said, "What is the fastest you have ever gone in a car?" And John Garrett said, "I don't know, I guess 90. And Ron said, "90. And he said, "Well, in my defense," he said, "I was in traffic and wasn't even looking. I was just keeping up with traffic. And I looked down and I was going like 90. And he said, "Everybody else was, you know." So, mm-hmm. And he looks at me and he said, "What about you? What's the fastest you've ever been?" I went, "Well, that's a question that you should ask Tim or Boogie." So they look at me and I'm a little shocked. And John Garrett calls Tim. He said, "I would call Uncle Boogie, but he won't call me back for a month." And he calls Tim. And he asked him this question. And Tim replies, "That's between me and your mother."
Mm-hmm. He didn't squeal.
No, he did not.
No, squeal. Snitches get stitches. He that's none of John Garrett's business.
So I will tell you this. When we were in college, I had a very nice Firebird.
That's about all y'all need to know.
That's all you need to know.
Is Tim Royals and a Firebird. That's all you need to know.
So anyway,
and in the 90s,
in the 90s,
when we were back in the 90s, back when we thought we were in our plaid shirts and our rolled jeans and
in a wide open road.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the discussion progresses and I don't remember what was said, but one of them said to Tim, how did you get Holly anyway? To which Tim replies,
it's my special sauce.
To which the whole room in the Shank House went silent. Which
they got more than they wanted on that answer. They got more than they wanted.
When the Shank House goes silent,
yes, it's an achievement.
Something is amiss.
Something is wrong.
It was John Garrett that went, ew.
I love how you do Tim's voice. That's like how I do it too when I'm.
I know it is.
It's my special sauce.
It's my special sauce.
I don't know what. Anyway.
I don't know. And I'm going to tell you people that I'm not going to ask any questions.
No. Nope.
Because I don't want to know. But between the lady cheese and the special sauce, there's a lot more going on at Holly's house than there is at my house.
Woohoo. Welcome to your 50s. Okay. Anyway, y'all. Anyway. Yeah. You never know. You just never know what's going to come out of their mouths. You know, I have no idea where he pulled that from. But anyway, he has special sauce. And he brings me lady cheese. So we're good. Everything's fine. Oh, my gosh. That is hilarious. I just hear bits and pieces of the conversations. And I'm like, what? Huh? And then you called me and told me all that. I'm like, what is going on? So anyway, it's good times. Yeah. It's good times. I will say, I hope that if I hope editing, I think maybe this week editing the podcast will go a little bit better. But I'm telling you what, if there is a Grammy for podcast editing, like, I don't know if that's a thing, but if there is, I should get it for last week's episode.
Sure. Between our hacking.
The number of hacking and coughing and snorting, and I'm always kind of bad. Like, I'm always clearing my throat. So you all don't know what I edit out. That's why people are like, why don't you all get it on up on YouTube? And I'm like, I can't, no. Anyway, so I need a prize. Because there was a lot going on in the GarageBand last week. So I just wanted to pat myself on the back for that. Yeah. football, we just real quick, we got to talk about football.
Okay. You know, let's just skip over the Mississippi State game. Let's go straight to the Ole Miss game.
Let's do that.
That was unlike the ending of that. It was just a mess.
It was a great game for those of you that, you know, aren't paying attention. We're in the playoffs. We're in the college playoffs. And so it was the quarterfinals, I believe. So there were four games. And really, the other games weren't very good. This was the only really good game of the quarterfinals. The other ones were kind of duds, unexpectedly, This was a good game.
That I am an Ole Miss. I root for Ole Miss when they're not playing Mississippi State. So
I was very happy for all of our Ole Miss friends. And quite frankly, right now, I kind of secretly, now that A&M's out, because I was real bummed that they got out. I thought that was such a bummer. But now that they're out and all that, I'm secretly hoping Ole Miss wins the whole thing just because then Lane Kiffin can't get a college championship.
Lane Kiffin, yes. That was
It'll go in the record books that they won the 2025 season, in 2026 championship, and their coach will not be stated as Lane Kiffin. That would kind of make me happy.
Yes.
Are we spiteful? Are we petty? Yeah, maybe we are.
Yes.
And we don't even care who Ole Miss's coach is.
Deal. There was like 1 second left in the game. Mm-hmm. And the football, I don't know. Did it hit the pylon or the?
It went out of bounds, some kind of technicality,
went out of bounds with 1 second left on the clock, which quickly went to zero. Everyone thought the game was over. Ole Miss had won
by three points. So it was only a kick away from, you know, anything could have happened.
Right. And they brought the state, you know, they have the because it's the Sugar Bowl.
Right.
The trophy, they bring the stage out.
The stage is coming out.
People are coming out on the field. Whistles are blowing and everybody's looking around like, what is going on? And, you know, people are still celebrating out there. And finally it cuts, you know, the TV cuts to the official. They're like, put 1 second back on the clock. And you're like, are you for real? Come on.
And I mean, I'm one that I can tend to be a real stickler for, like, let's make sure. Because when it's not going your way, like, you know. You want to make sure it's right. I appreciate that. But this was like, okay.
They come in. They do, you know, I don't know. They kick it. All Ole Miss had to do was kind of touch the ball, bat it away, whatever. They did not do it. They let... Who were they? I've forgotten who they were playing.
Georgia. They're playing Georgia.
That's right.
Yeah.
They let the Georgia player fall on the ball.
It was a mistake.
Time would be up. It was, they weren't going to get a play off. Mm-hmm. And all they had to do was touch the ball, bat the ball. They didn't do it. They just stood there and let the guy fall on the ball. Well,
they got the ball. Georgia got the ball.
And, you know, so... it may be 1 second, but once the play is in progress, the play finishes. So now you are one Hail Mary. And again, when that play is over, they fall on the ball. It goes to zero. Here comes the stage again.
We think it's over then. Like the clock is down. Was there a flag or something? Or is it just that they got the ball? They recovered the ball.
They got the ball and they got
to y'all, the stage was coming back out again. Everything
was coming back out. I mean, y'all, this is twice.
Back it up.
And then something else, you know, they blew a whistle or something. And that you see one of the Ole Miss players going,
what? It was their quarterback. It was Shambliss. Was like, what are we doing now?
What?
And then that last play that Georgia did, I got real scared.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So they're batting it back. I mean, it's going back.
They're doing the backward lateral, you know, passes as you do just to try to keep the play going. And they did several. And I thought
they are fixing to, somebody's going to get it and run.
I was like, it could happen. And then all of the sadness of those people that celebrated twice and then had it taken back.
And then had it. Yes. Y'all, it was a fiasco.
It was something else
that I have never seen before.
It was. But they pulled it. They pulled it off, and we got out of there. And I was real happy for Ole Miss. I mean, I'll be honest. I didn't really, you know, care too much. And Georgia's a great team, and I don't have any. But I was just like, man, now I really want them to go all the way and just be like, oh yeah, we won. And oh, who's our coach? Not you. Anyway, it would just make me happy. So that was really great. And yeah, like you said, we're not going to really discuss the Duke's Mayo Bowl. You know, they looked real. I will say I had two spicy uniforms for that weekend, and Mississippi State got one. They looked so sharp.
That black is good.
They had that black, but the helmets, they were matte black. And then of course, and then the uniforms were black, but they had a white and maroon stripe down like the middle of the helmet and on their shoulders. It looked so good. And then the other one was the Oregon Ducks. They had really cool, they are the hardest color, you know, they're that crazy green and yellow that usually like burns your retinas. But they had kind of a pale outfit and these metallic numbers. And then on their helmet were these big wings, like duck wings. So I really liked that as well. That was my highlight.
I will say this for Mississippi State, Kamarion, that's what I'm sitting here looking up. Kamario Taylor is the quarterback that has stepped in. He's outstanding.
He's really great, great talent.
But that boy had cramped up, y'all. His thumb was in shapes I've never seen.
It was bent back away. It wasn't supposed to be bent back.
You know, no, it was but it was a cramp. It was cramped up. I was like, because I thought that boy has dislodged his finger. Something is not right, but it was a cramp.
I know.
And that happened like two or three times. And then he got an injury at the very end of the game and they had to cart him off.
They had to cart him off, y'all.
He was in pain. I mean, had the towel over his head.
He was sitting up. So it's obviously a leg thing, but they were just saying, the announcers were just saying, and of course, this is, you know, this has been a big year for, in many ways for Mississippi State and as the program builds and he's actually the back, you know, the secondary quarterback shape, and did he get injured at the end? He must have gotten injured. But they played Taylor a lot, like in running. He's a good running quarterback, so they would put him in quite often. It, you know, wasn't like normal secondary. But anyway, I think this was only his second like start, and just seeing his talent. And they're like, this is, I mean, the announcers are like, this is a talent. This is a quarterback they can build their program around this spring. They're going to get guys through the portal to work around his play. And then he got injured. So what are you hearing? Did you hear any?
Well, I'm just reading an update, and they're not saying what happened, except that they are saying that he appears to have avoided a major injury. And that the initial reports have been really good, but that they'll just continue to evaluate.
It kind of looked like that by the time he got on the cart. Like I said, he wasn't strapped to a board. He wasn't.
No.
He was sitting up. He had the towel on. I mean, he was clearly had been in a lot of pain on the ground, which, you know, means he probably tore something or whatever. But, you know, he was able to kind of sit there with just one guy. And so hopefully Designer Cornbread sends you all of our love. Get better soon. Get ready for spring practice. Yeah, that's all the football. We got two more, I guess, weekends of it. I guess we got the semifinals, and then do they wait a whole other week for the final, don't they? They spread it. I believe so.
Because
they can't play two games in one unless they put it on like during the week, the middle of the week, the next week or something.
And they might. I don't know. I'll have to look.
That's a lot to play two games in one. But anyway,
now I'm focused back on school, which I went back to today.
That's right. Some people are back at school. Tim had to go back to work. Last night he was like, I have to go to work tomorrow. I'm like, I know. I'm sorry, honey.
Yes. We're back at it. Anyway, the students weren't there today. It was just we had faculty meetings and some in-service stuff and all that going on.
Oh, good. Okay.
Tomorrow. So.
Good.
We're right back at it.
Good. That gives you a little bit of
one day closer to retirement.
Yeah. Wow.
No, I enjoy it. I do.
You do. You love it. But
bring a lot of life.
It does. So we had talked a little bit at the end of last week's episode about the concept and the thought about wintering. You know, we kind of brought that up, and I think we talked about it a little bit last year. And seeing as we're in the heart of
spring,
winter.
It's spring down here now.
Is it?
Gosh, yes.
I know, but visually it's winter.
Winter.
And it can drop and do who knows what. But so, it's an interesting topic. I want to hear your thoughts on it. But it's coming, it's more, I don't know if the word is trendy or it's, I'm seeing a lot of more people talking about it even this year than last year, just like online, you know, internet, on the social medias and all that. You see a lot of, maybe that's partly my algorithm, 'cause I'm like all about that. I'm like, please send me more, you know, cozy, reassuring things, but, just a lot more just really talking about it. I don't know. It's kind of like mainstreaming now. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And I'm really kind of glad. And what do you think? When you hear that, what do you want to tell us about wintering?
So I think that as a whole, we are really starting to look more at the natural way of doing things. Mm. You know, we're looking more, we've been in this, you know, big pharma life for all these years. And now we're going back, you know, to where it causes this and it causes that and it causes this and it causes, you know, mm-hmm. with all these side effects, to going back to, wait, what did they say this tree bark would do? What did they say this root would do? What did they say this herb, this seed, that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that at least people are looking more toward that. They're moving away from processed food to more whole food, more organic foods. And so I think we're starting to embrace, you know, the natural way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the natural world in winter, things slow down. The trees, they, you know, they've borne their fruit and they've dropped their leaves and they are in a resting, rebuilding mode. Mm-hmm. Animals hibernate. There are all these things that, you know, the world, the nature starts to slow down. So if mm-hmm. everything else around us is slowing down in the winter, why aren't we? Mm. And I think people are realizing that because, look, your summer, I mean, summer is live. You know, I mean, it is go. The sun is out until 9 and it is let's stay up. Let's swim. Let's ski. Let's do this. Let's do that. We're going, you know, right. We're playing. We have the spring has come. We have energy. We're getting the sunlight.
Yeah.
We're,
we literally produce more in the winter. We produce more melatonin. Our bodies are literally telling us like, you know, rest.
A step. Mm-hmm. And then fall, I'm going to tell you, fall about kills me. I mean, it is nonstop, you know, festival this, festival that. We've got the harvest is coming in. We've got Thanksgiving. We've got Christmas. We've got, you know, and it just goes and goes.
It's a
and goes.
Big push to the end of the year. Big push right. to Christmas. Yeah.
Right. And I'm going to tell you for women, especially because
oh, Lord.
You can say whatever you want to say about equal rights, but you know, I'm the one doing the cooking and the cleaning and the wrapping and the, you know, all of that. Christmas moms are really responsible usually for the magic that happens at Christmas. Mm-hmm. And so you get to New Year's and all of a sudden it's like,
oh my gosh. I would get sick. I went down. Yeah. Like after Christmas, I was like, bye. Yeah.
And I will tell you, yes, I will tell you the greatest thing about the South when we get big snowstorms, because we don't invest in like the road clearing stuff. We don't have enough of it.
Yeah.
But when it snows, y'all, the whole world comes to a screeching halt mm-hmm. in the winter down here in the South. And it needs to happen. Mm. It needs to happen. People need to stop and they need the quiet that the snow brings. Mm. And they need, and I think our bodies all need, we need to winter.
Yeah. More and more. And I think as the older, for sure, the older I get, this just becomes more and more apparent. It's, you know, just like what you said, you know, you think about January and you're like, you know, January is not the seasonally around us, right? In the world God created. January is not a month, at least in our hemisphere. Again, people, you know, other places, but it's not a month for rebirth. It's not a month for new things and push and hustle and you know, all this kind of thing. It's the heart of winter. Yeah. We've got December, January, February. January is smack in the middle of winter. And as you say, I mean, it's so funny to me how our systems get set up this way. And there's a lot of, it's very interesting to think about that and talk about that. And I don't, you know, what can be done to change that. But, you know, like you said, we come right off Christmas. We come right off fall and Christmas, which is a big preparation time. And again, people do it, you know, I don't want to complain about it because I'm choosing to do it. So if I don't want to do it, I can do something else and not do it. But it's a big time of all kinds of stuff, getting ready. And then right after that, we're all supposed to turn around and like, you know, start new things and make resolution. Again, I have no issue. I have a whole bunch of really good end of the year, beginning year things that I'm doing this year and that I enjoy. So it's not saying don't do any of that, but it's like this kind of idea of like, oh, now it's the new year, you know, go get them, everybody. And it's like, that's not, it's the time for deepening roots in the winter, the trees, everything, those deciduous, you know, what happens is their roots go deep in the winter. Right. They're storing up the energy that they're going to need to produce and grow in the spring when rebirth, new vitality comes back. And I agree with you completely. And I know, I guess I get frustrated because I know that that wasn't possible. Well, I won't say it wasn't possible. It's really hard to do when you've got a house full of kids. They're in school or you're homeschooling or whatever. I was just going to say, most of my life, this time of year, rolling into a basketball tournament. We're rolling into, we got to get back. We've had over Christmas and we didn't do a lot. We weren't like a lot of families that had, you know, multiple people, multiple sports all the time. So, but I think about that. I'm like, man, we were gearing up for the state tournament in February. We had to drive over. How many times I've driven on icy, snow, crazy dark roads throughout Missouri. And it's how it is. It's how it doesn't have to be that way. I'm never going to be one to say like, well, that's it. Cause it doesn't have to be that way. You as a family, you can choose a lot of things. So I don't want to take away people's agency because you can. Yeah. But it's when you've got all the kids and the family and the school schedule life, it's harder to do.
And you know, just as we go through seasons, your life goes through seasons too.
For sure.
And, you know, we're getting, you and I are approaching winter closer every day.
Hey, I'm in the prime harvest time right here. Says the woman who was in bed by 7:30 on New Year's Eve. Anyway, yes. Carry on.
Yes. You know, so you do, I mean, you have to, you've got to live the life that you're in right mm-hmm. now, but I would say you don't have to fill your days just to fill your days.
Yep.
I think he posted something, Holly, the other day on Instagram, and it was a reel from a woman that said, wake up, get your cup of coffee. You don't have to make a to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have something to fill every moment.
She was so great. I posted that. I loved, I don't know who she is or whatever, but that was one of the things that really resonated with me this week. And what she said is, she said, your space is not a to-do list.
Yeah.
Your home is not just something for you to manage. It's for you to enjoy and rest and do. We need to hear that.
We do. I need to hear that because I got to tell you, I'm not good at being still a lot of times, except when you're here and then I just crash.
It's awesome. I'm good for you.
You are. But I feel guilty if I'm sitting down. And I think some of that comes from when I stayed home with kids, you know, and Ron would go to work
mm-hmm.
and I would sit down and look at a magazine about that time. He'd pull up in the driveway and I'm like, ooh, I got to be up doing something.
I know. And we'd been going all day.
We
hadn't been able to use the bathroom without hands under the door and bang, you know, but you're right. You'd sit down finally.
And they'd pull it. And I was like, oh, you think I've just, you know, sat here and eaten bonbons all day.
I know. It's true.
But, you know, but I do. I mean, I feel like I got to be doing something. And I can't. And I feel guilty. You know, now I'm getting to the age where, and my great aunt used to say, get up, do some stuff, and then sit back down. Go rest for a minute. And I was like, why? And now I'm figuring it out.
Mm-hmm. You know? Now you're like, oh, she was pretty smart.
You know, mm-hmm. But it is, you don't have to have a to-do list every break you have.
Nope.
It is okay. And you know, biblically, how many times does the Lord say, be still and know that I am God. And there's so much to that.
Yeah. And
be still. Stop. Because you can't hear him
mm-hmm.
when you're in a lot of noise.
That's right.
And by noise, I don't mean verbal noise. I mean
mental noise.
And mental noise.
Emotional, mental.
You know. Yeah, right.
Constantly. Yeah. And that is something I wrote down in the January time too. I was like, you know, I try to put in as much in January. And this is, I mean, really intentional about it. And again, I can. Yeah. So, but everyone can to differing extents. But I'm like, give yourself as much margin as you can in January. Just decide that it is okay to have blank space and margin. And that means not filling in all the time for your kids, not filling in when all the things, not constantly on your to-do, you know, pare those things way down to give yourself a little blank space and a little margin to see what comes up. Because you're talking about that noise, like nothing, I don't give the Holy Spirit a chance to just let me think, do thinking, do dreaming, do some, you know, planning if you want to. That's of course, you know, great, but don't feel like, you know, I totally know what you mean because there's so much to do, but you know what, guys, there's always going to be, so much to do. It's not, you're not going to get it done. And that doesn't mean don't do important things, but it just means, you know, the moments of our lives, how we feel, you, like you were saying, you feel guilty about seeing, you know, we all have those things. And it's like how we feel, how we, our feelings that are about our life are our life.
Yeah.
That is your life. And so if I'm constantly, worried about what all need, and I could very easily do that. And I do sometimes. And I, you know, but to kind of, to worry about what needs to be done and what's not done in this project. And I mean, I can look around the house and absolutely, you know, go bazonkers. But, that's the thing too. There are seasons in your year too, and of your life, but of more productivity. And maybe this one's more planning and stillness and deepening whatever, you know, whatever God is leading you to feel so that you can get ready. I heard someone say once, you know, that we don't, you know, we kind of in our society, we work, in order to be able to rest, right? We work so that we can rest. And really they're like, we should rest so we can work. Like
when we go on vacation, we fill it with so much.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, but we feel like
I always say I need a vacation for my vacation.
And you know what? Plan it in there. That's exactly right. Yeah. And that doesn't always, again, I totally understand that, again, seasons and times. But, you know, you'd be surprised if you just, half of it for me is just noticing how I'm feeling, noticing how it makes me feel, noticing the decisions that I'm making. Cause you know, a lot of our life, we just kind of go through and we just are kind of on autopilot. At least I have been for years in the past, just kind of on autopilot, and you're just trying to get through. And it doesn't mean there's not happy and joy, you know, there's all those same things, but, you know, you just kind of get stuck in that autopilot. So half of it, the battle is just kind of noticing, oh, wow. You know, how am I feeling? What is this making me on my insides? Am I just kind of anxious? Am I overwhelmed? Am I whatever? And then not that those things are, you know, we can handle that. That's okay. But how we, might need a little bit different, more intentional, thoughts about our year and our life. And again, it's not for the whole year. Cause I can hear people, well, you just can't, you know, I got to keep going into my business and this and that, and the other thing. And that's true. And everyone has their circumstances.
Right.
But it's interesting because I even heard someone saying or talking about the other day, how, you know, because we have all these lights and gadgets, that's how come we're going, you know, because again, not that we all have to be old time peasant farmers, but I'm not saying that that's the best life either. But I'm just saying they worked very hard and they did various things. And then, but we are able to avoid, here's what I'm trying to say. If I can get my words out, we are able to avoid some of that natural seasonal things that happen in our bodies and in our lives and in our year because of the technology and the lights and the TVs and the shows and the screens and the, you know, which are all such a blessing, but it lets us avoid, some of that natural rhythm,
right?
You know, and, you know, to our detriment to some degree. I mean, you look at the mental health crisis, you look at people that are stressing out, you look at our kids, the kids nowadays who are just, you know, under all this strain, can't handle they can't handle all this. Their nervous systems can't handle it. And then we wonder why. And it's because get to January and we're all tired and exhausted and parents are exhausted and we've all spent too much money. And then we got to get back in school and get back to basketball and do the thing. And you're just like, you know,
it's overload.
It is. And there's lots we can do, to think about that. I know a couple of things that I heard recently that I just thought I'd jot down to kind of remember when I was thinking about the new year and whatnot. And one thing, some of these are so simple, you guys. That's what I love. I'll hear something and keep like that lady said, you know, your space is not a to-do list, isn't it? I'm like, that's such a simple thing. It's not like these are rocket science things, but I don't know, sometimes just hearing them said, like one thing was just to think about, because a new year is great. Again, I don't want to poo-poo on any, I don't want to yuck anybody's yum if they, you know, are all energized and excited and ready to go for the new year. And that's great. You do it. You don't have to start or implement all of your goals and new things at the same time. Okay. Again, we get to new year and some people maybe don't feel this pressure at all. And some people don't care and some people love it or whatever, but you know, there's this kind of background noise of, you know, the resolutions and the new goals and I'm going to lose this weight and I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. And all those things. But just to kind of think about, okay, once you kind of figure out what you want to do and all that, but you don't have to start everything. Like you can spread the start times out. You can layer things in. You know what I mean? I feel like we just get to this point where like first 2 weeks of January, well, we got to do the whole program, you know, go to the store, get to Whole Foods, get all the new groceries. And that's nothing wrong with that. If you've got the gumption to go want to do it, that's nothing wrong with it. But it puts a lot of pressure, again, in a time of season of year where we're all just, our bodies are producing more melatonin. We're tired. Nature is saying, take a chill pill, you know? Yeah. So I thought that was very like, oh yeah, you know, you can start one of your little things and then maybe plan in February. Okay, I'm going to
add this. There is a first that comes every month.
That's right. There's a Monday every week.
There's a Monday every week.
Mm-hmm. There really is. You can do it anytime you want. So that just made me think of like, you know, so maybe January, you know, to me, it's not a month to start anything new, like new big, now planning and thinking and germinating and deepening roots, that's going on. I'm enjoying the dreaming and thinking and planning without the implementing in action right now. You know what I mean? Like you have to give yourself, again, we're little seeds in the ground and we got to store up our little energy so that then we can go out and produce. But, you know, if they're, you know, I'm not saying you can't do anything, but maybe January to me is maybe a really good time to just do some of those little tiny things around the tidying of the nest that just kind of a little reset. So, you know, just clean out that little kitchen junk drawer that you deal with every day. I'm thinking like the things that you deal with kind of every day that are driving you crazy, but they're just little and you never get around to them because there's always the big important things, you know, under the kitchen sink or your bathroom sink. Maybe that just that little area needs a little organizing, you know, like this is a great month to kind of use some of our nesty new energy to, you know, your desk. Or the mud.
You don't have to rip out all your cabinets.
You don't have to like be planning or starting the whole new, I mean, and you can if you want. Again, I'm not telling anyone what to do, but I think there's a feeling of that sometimes. And I'm like, you know what would be great is if you just got your shoes organized. Yeah. That'd be amazing. And I'm speaking to I'm literally making a list of shoes organized. You know, but little things that are daily things that you face that affect you daily that really if they were done, you know, and you never, like I said, you know, who has time to go and do the junk drawer when you're running 50 miles an hour or the under the kitchen sink when you're, you know, cooking and doing all the stuff. But, you know, now's the time to maybe take on some of those little tiny things and feel good about that. And then those really affect, because every time you go in the bathroom, you open the medicine cabinet or that drawer, you instantly get a real good payoff. You know, you're like, oh, that looks better. That feels better. So I don't know. I think wintering is awesome. I think that we should stop, you know, I'm not into resisting it anymore. I'm like, I don't think I was very good at resisting it before. I think I was always like, why am I out here? Why am I at this game right now? What's happening? I loved going, but you know.
Yes.
And that is one thing that I say that like the kids' school, the school they went for a little, it was really good. A lot, you know, some of the private schools anyway, whatever, it doesn't matter. But this school, it would like when they went back in January, that first week was play week. And the whole school, this is a classical Christians kind of school, you know, so of course we're doing Shakespeare plays and things like that. But that was like the play week, and they just all worked on the play that week and did the props and practiced, and, you know, they'd already, you know, had parts assigned to the people that needed to learn. But, you know, it's like that whole first week back was just a different, a little bit different vibe, a little more, you know, you're not just sitting in classes, but yet you're doing something. And that was always kind of a good little bit of a ramp back in. So give yourself a ramp if you can.
Ramp.
We need a ramp. I need a wheelchair. I don't know. It's good to think about. I think next week, let's talk a little bit too about, I think there's just lots of things like I was thinking about, and I didn't get a chance to get a hold of you. And I thought we have enough to talk about this week anyway, but like, maybe there's some things what, you know, next week, maybe we'll talk about, what are some things that you want to let go of this next year, or maybe things that that you let go of, you know, last year, and how that, cause again, I think we, I like to, that was a neat concept. I mean, cause we always think about what to add. What do I need to start doing? What do I need to get and do? And I'm like, someone was, again, in my coaching thing was like, you know, what do you need to let, what can you let go of? Do you want to let go of? And I thought, that's an interesting thought.
Good question.
I know. I have to really think about that a little bit. I've got some funny ones that I think we all need to let go of, and then I'll come up with more. So you could do that. Is there anything that we need to let go of?
Yes.
Yes. And we'll let you know. So maybe next week we'll kind of chat about that, and we can chat about words of the year or anything else that, you know, again, kind of keeping along. The new year is not, you know, I do Christmas all the way till, I mean, my stuff is still up. I got it up real late this year too. So I'm just not having it, but,
yeah, you know? I find it very interesting. I was going to say this to you. All the people who the day after Halloween start putting up Christmas, and they're like, it's the day after Halloween, I'm putting my tree up, I don't care what anybody says. You know, I mean, all those, you know, comes out
overachieving.
And it's, yes, you know, like this big fight of,
yes, they're very vocal about it. Yes.
Very vocal about putting it up after.
Okay.
After Halloween. Well, then I noticed that, at least in my social media feed, they are the very first ones taking it, day after Christmas, trees down.
Oh, they're over it because they've had it for, do you blame them?
Yeah,
no, because it's been up for, and that's great. Again, do whatever you want to do. But like, I like to have Christmas at Christmas, and I like to have my pretty tree and pretty lights and cozy
and it's very wintry dark
things
outside,
when it's dark and January.
And dreary, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Like, that's when I want it, you know? Yeah. So I'm a full 12 days of Christmas or more, so we're still doing music and all this stuff. So it's kind of great. So, okay. Well, is there anything else before you do your recipe?
Oh, and my recipe, you're going to think I'm cheating, and I am cheating.
I'm sure that you are.
Because it is a very, very simple recipe.
Okay, I love it. I love simple.
But I have a reason for doing it. January the 8th is Elvis's birthday. Elvis's favorite sandwich and favorite thing to eat. Keep in mind, people, Elvis died at a very early age.
Keep in mind, he's not the paragon of health.
Not the paragon.
Okay, carry on. And he lived in the South, so there's a lot happening.
But his favorite thing to eat was a fried peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Which I bet that's so good.
You know,
I bet that's so good.
Now, the official Elvis recipe that I have is white bread.
Yeah, but again, that's all they had. Like, again, right. Yes. Unless you baked it. Like, that was all that was in the stores, really.
White bread, yes.
Yeah, white bread.
Wonder bread, you know.
Wonder bread.
White bread. Mm-hmm. White loaf bread. And you are going to spread peanut butter on that. You are going to slice up a banana and put on that. And you are going to fry it in butter just as you would a grilled cheese sandwich.
Mm.
Now, that's the official recipe.
Okay.
But I have heard some interviews with Elvis that he also liked to put bacon on this sandwich.
Oh, shut up.
So
shut up.
I know that sounds, that is a very non, you know, deeply culinary recipe, but as an Elvis tribute. And he also liked banana pudding, but I've done a banana pudding recipe on here before. So you get the fried peanut butter and banana sandwich. But this was, I mean, if you talk about Elvis and culinary foods, I mean, this is the first.
Everyone knew this. I knew this growing up. I don't know how I possibly knew it. And you know what I would do after you get it fried up? I take a little honey. Mm-hmm. Drizzle a little honey on that sandwich on the top of the bread.
Like your Monte Cristo.
I would just do a little honey drizzle on that fried butter bread with that peanut butter and banana in there. Mm-hmm. Mm. That actually does sound really, and bacon, you put some bacon in there. Like those things really go together. Like, I know it's crazy, but you know, those things go together.
I am going to tell you that we went to a burger place down in Starkville one time. I can't remember what it was. It doesn't matter, but they have, you know, all kinds of different burgers, different things. And JB ordered one that had peanut butter on it. And I thought, there is no way that I will consume that amount of calories that's on that burger.
Right.
But I said, let me have a bite.
Yeah.
I'm going to just tell you, it was one of the best burgers that I've had.
You're right. I would never want that. Cause again, it's a lot and I don't need all, but now if you want to put some pimento cheese on that burger.
Yeah.
Now I'm in. I might be in.
As bad as peanut butter.
I don't know. I bet it was good.
It may be healthier for you than mayonnaise. I don't know.
I don't know either. Lots of protein. We're all supposed to be eating 50 million grams of protein a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know how we're supposed to do that. I don't eat that much food to get the 50 million grams of protein. Mm-hmm. I'm a little spicy about that. Okay. So, that's a good, that's a kid pleaser too.
It is.
Like a snack or, you know, dinner that you just just can't anymore this year. You could
not every night, people.
You could sprinkle a little powdered sugar.
Not every night.
No, it's a treat. On a snow day, that's good snow day food.
It is good snow day food.
Mm-hmm. You could do your Elvis fried peanut butter banana sandwiches on snow days, unless you live in like Minnesota. And well, they don't really have that many snow days because they prepare. They just go to school.
They just go.
Like, get your boots on, the plows are out. Okay, that's very, very good. Okay, it's time for my top three.
Top three.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, all of a sudden I get really nervous because I can't remember. Okay, my top three this week. Number one, isn't this no surprise to you, Joni, but is my new Minky Couture blanket that I got for myself. And this is very much, again, if you all have listened to our podcast, this is almost exactly the same as the lovely Lola blanket that Joni introduced me to when I was down at her house in October that she had gotten from her secret sister. And that thing was just, I mean, every time I sat on the couch, I was like, I need that blanket on me. I just need it on me. They're soft, you know, fake fur, heavy. They just feel great. And, so I was like looking for Christmas to get, because I got some for the boys. I think I mentioned this last week. But anyway, so I don't need to go in the whole thing. But so they each got one. Then I got one because I was like, I really do love this. And my dog, my little wiener dog, I mean, he's obsessed. He anytime anyone sat down, which this was the best week. He lived his best life this last week because Tim and I were both sick. Hudson was here and he was getting over cold. So there was always someone by the fire in the living room with the blanket on and the couch. There was two blankets because Hudson had one here and I had mine. And so that dog just went and just buried up in that fur. I mean, all of a sudden I'd look over and I'd see it moving. I'm like, oh, no, I'd be like, don't sit on the dog. Because he was just up in it and on whoever's lap had it. I mean, he just, anyway, the brand that I got was Minky Couture. And I think I just went with them because there was a code and someone said they're a little bit less expensive than the Lolas. There was like a big code sometime back. I think when you sent me the Lola code, anyway, there was a big code. So that's what I got. So I did get the Hugs variety. There's all million different colors, but I think there's some different, I don't know, styles or heavinesses, or I don't know what they are, but the Hugs Minky Couture blanket, and I got the grande size. There's different, all kinds of different sizes. My recommendation would be, if you're going to get one, get a big one.
Yeah.
Just get a,
get it.
Yeah. Just get it. Now you can get a, I could size down if I got another one, which is possible. I might go down one size just to have it be, cause it's a lot of blanket. I mean, Tim can barely pick it. I mean, you're like, it's full, but it's so great. I got Tim, you know, and the boys are very tall and all that. And I love to just wrap up in it, and it's luxurious. It feels great on your skin. It's slightly weighted somehow. It's called the Rack Monster. Like, it literally, Tim's like, the dog, this is doing bad things to him. He can't even get up. And I'm like, I know. So
look, as soon as John Garrett gets under, I mean, he's asleep like that.
Yeah. It's just truly, and we're a blanket family. Like, we have a million blankets. We love blankets, but there's this heavy, soft, I don't, when I was sick, I literally was back in my chair here in the bedroom at my window, and Tim had filled the bird feeder. I was the little lady bundled up in that thing, watching the birds and watching my shows. And I mean, the dog, it was the best scenario you could have for being sick. So I highly recommend. And they have codes all, I mean, in fact, I think I even went on there to copy the link. And I think if you like give them your email, you get like 40% off or something. So
right.
You can get good. I had 50% off for all our blankets. So get you a code. Okay. The second thing, I don't think I've ever talked about this. I didn't go back and look. So this is just a really random, but again, just coming off the holidays, it's my garlic mincer. I should have brought it in here to show you. It's my little garlic. You know, when you're cooking, nothing tells you what those workhorse tools are than when you get through the holidays and you're like, that thing is a lifesaver. So I just have a really inexpensive, and I'll link you one that looks pretty much like mine. I think I picked mine up at a store. But I'll link to one on Amazon. It's just little, it's just a little thing. And
I use them in culinary all the time.
Yeah. And this one, you know, I've always had the press, the one that with the handles that you press, but to clean that out and to do all that, this isn't a press, this is a mincer. So, I mean, if it makes a difference, I have the garlic press too. But, you know, everything calls for minced garlic. And so it's just a little thing, and it's really similar to the version of the big onion choppers. You know, there's a grid in it, the little metal, and then the thing. It's the same concept as those onion choppers that we love, and it catches it in the little bowl. But I mean, it's so convenient. You just pop the things in, boom, and then it's all in the little bowl. You unscrew it, you dump it in. And the best thing about this one, this is what's the game changer. And I think there's other designs that have this. The little, okay, I'm not explaining this, but you guys know what the onion thing I'm talking about, I hope. You know, the top piece that pushes down in gets all, you got to take the rake thing and get out all the onions. The cleaning, it's a little bit of a pain. This little garlic press has a little snap-in like screen, like thing that goes underneath all that. So when you press it down, all you have to do is pop that thing out and it all cleans it all out and you're done.
Awesome. Yeah.
It made me so happy just to be like, boom, boom, boom. And the other thing I did also, this, which was great for holiday cooking, I mean, this is nothing brilliant, but I went ahead and bought the bag of the already peeled and garlic bulb. You know, you can just get the bag that's already, because I was like, I don't have time. I usually just use the regular fresh, or at a pinch, I'll use the jarred, you know, whatever. But just that bag of already peeled and ready to go garlic bulbs, and you just stick them in there. So that made me really happy. The last thing is really just something, I guess this was what Tim and I got ourselves. We got a new fireplace grate after a nice inside log holder for our fireplace. We love a fire. We all winter long, you know, for years and years. And the last several years, we've bought new ones. And I guess we just, you know, I've just ordered them on Amazon, or maybe he's gone to like Lowe's or somewhere and gotten them regular. And I mean, they last a year, and they literally bend. The metal heats up and like bends. And I'm like, what, this is supposed to be a fireplace grate. Like, it's going to get hot, you know, and they weren't super expensive, but, and I was saying to Tim, I'm like, I grew up at my house with my parents with the same fireplace log holder grate my entire life. I don't think we ever replaced that. And now every year or two, and they come apart and Tim's reshaping them because they literally have like bent. I'm like, why are they making these so that like when they get hot, they bend? Anyway, we went ahead and got a nicer, big, really well-made one, and it's great, and it burns great because it's higher up, and it's just making me really happy. So I'm not linking to it because I don't remember where it was from. So y'all just, I'm sorry. Tim ordered it off of somewhere. But just like it was a nice, you know, from a fireplacey place and not just from, and it's bigger, fits in our thing a little better. And
not from a box store.
Yeah, we did. We tried that. I was like, you know, I don't want to pay an arm and a leg, but now I see why.
Good gear.
Hey, good gear is good gear. We learned our stupid lesson. So anyway, that's all I have. So hope everyone is having a good first week back to like having to know the days of the week. Congratulations, everyone. You're doing great. It's all, if by the time you hear this again, it'll be Thursday or so. So it's almost the weekend again. So you can rest again. You can winter during the week. You find a little ways, just find some ways to just, I think if I had to say a takeaway for me, kind of based on what you're saying is it's okay. Give yourself permission to, because I think I resist it. And like you said, we feel guilty. When we're tired and we need to slow down and we need to take a break. And also I think there's a little fear in that. And at least in my, experience, like I think, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? Is this just the way I am now? And especially as you get older, you're kind of like,
yeah.
Is this just how I am now? Am I this low energy? And I'm like, no, not, you know, this is a time that, you know, you're okay. You can rest. It's okay. So we give you permission. All right, guys, have a great week and we'll talk to you next week. Until then, goodbye, Pellet.
See ya, Patch. Got my pellet last week.
Oh, I know. So that helped put a little spring in your step.
It did.
Perky, had to go get a
lymphatic drainage today. So.
Oh my gosh. What do they do to you on that?
It just
on your face or on?
All over my body.
Oh, nice.
It's just like, it looks like a light bulb kind of thing.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that. Oh, okay. Well, then you should be all, you're ready. I'm shaved and dyed and you're drained. Right. Ew.